Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? You can hear me? Fantastic, fantastic. All right, so my name is Michael. Welcome to church. What's your name? Well, let me pray. Father God, we just commit to you this morning. Help us to learn from your word. Help me to speak truth with grace. Help me to decrease that you would increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we are in week two of our Better Together series. And the title of my sermon today is We Belong in Community. So let me start with a story. A pastor and his wife decided to take up cycling for their anniversary. But to ensure they stayed together, they hired a tandem bicycle. Do you know what a tandem bicycle is? Oh, see, nods, that's good. So it's a bicycle built for two. So, they found a massive hill in town and decided to tackle it. The pastor pedaled with everything he had. He was sweating, his lungs were burning, and his legs felt like jelly. But he kept pushing. Finally, after an agonizing 10 minutes of straining, they reached the very top of the hill. So he collapsed over the handlebars, gasping for air, and he said, "Wow, honey, that was the hardest climb of my entire life. I thought we weren't going to make it." His wife wiped her brow and sighed in relief. "I know, right? Thank goodness I kept the brakes clamped down tight, otherwise we'd have rolled all the way backwards." Yeah, sometimes in our personal relationships, we could be close to each other, but not necessarily together. We could be close to each other, but not necessarily together. Yes, we could be in proximity like those two on the people on the tandem bike who look very similar to me and my wife. But their hearts and their minds are not necessarily aligned. It can happen in church too. It can happen in church too. We can sit side by side to each other, but we are not together. Our hearts and our minds are not in sync. Instead of being united, we're divided. And this division gives people a sense that they don't belong. People feel that they're not part of the community. And Paul, writing to a church that had similar issues, offers a correction to how it should be instead. So, I'll just leave that photo there for now. The Corinthian church was a very young church. It was probably about 3 to 5 years old when Paul wrote this letter, and they had spiritual gifts in abundance. At the same time, they also had a lot of insecurity, a lot of pride, a lot of arrogance. There was division within the church. It seems that some people in the Corinthian church have concluded that having the flashier spiritual gifts made them more important. So the Apostle Paul says to them, let me tell you about the human body. So here's my first point. Unity in diversity. Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Paul says that the human body is one and has many parts. In the same way, the body of Christ is also one and has many parts. In fact, many different parts. The one and the many, they're not in tension. It's how it's always been designed. The problem with the church, with the Corinthian church, is that they were many, different and diverse, but they were not one. They were not united. They had issues with different cultures. different social statuses, and especially with the different spiritual gifts, which were meant to be used to build up the church, but instead they're being used to compare each other. So Paul is basically saying to them that the diverse parts of the body of Christ should act as a team, as a community, because we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. This means that the basis of church unity is it's not personalities or background or how long you've been coming to this church or whether you like the same music. That's not the basis of unity. It's the Spirit of God that brings us together as a body of Christ. It's our faith in Jesus that unites us. And unity is important in any community. Think about this. You can't have community without unity. Okay? You can't even spell community without unity. Try it. Spell community without unity. You can't. The Corinthian church had the perception that you can only have unity if everything is in uniform, if everyone's the same. But the Apostle Paul challenges that notion. True unity comes when you bring a diverse group of people together. True unity comes when you bring a diverse group of people together. There is unity in diversity. Okay. That's one. The second point is the body needs what you think it doesn't need. The body needs what you think it doesn't need. Now imagine if you're a foot. Can you imagine if you're a foot? You've spent your whole life down there. Nobody talks to you. Nobody shows you off. Because sometimes you smell. When someone asks, which part of the body are you? You say, I'm a foot. And nobody claps. They may do this, but nobody claps. You begin to wonder, am I necessary here? Am I necessary in this body? You feel like you don't belong. You feel like you don't belong. Paul makes a point. But you saying that you don't belong doesn't make it that you don't belong. It doesn't mean that you don't belong. The foot is still part of the body, whether it feels like it or not. The foot is still part of the body, whether it feels like it or not. And then verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Again, you need to use your imagination here. Imagine a giant floating eyeball coming into church. Just an eye, okay? See, even, does anyone remember Mike Wazowski? Even Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc. has arms and legs. Okay? Imagine this. Imagine, for those who like footy, imagine a footy team where everyone plays a forward role and there is no ruck. Okay? You didn't get that illustration, but let me try again. Imagine a soccer team where everyone is a striker and there's no goalie. You've been watching the World Cup? If there is no goalie, the other team wins. Who is going to stop the soccer ball from getting into the goal? Yes, it can function, but it can't function well. Diversity isn't a problem to be solved, it's needed. And in verse 18, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. So you, your spiritual gifts, your passions, your abilities, your personality, just one personality, and experiences were not assigned randomly. Your place in this body was not an accident. God placed you here. And God placed you here with what you have for a purpose. There's a purpose to it. You are what this community needs. You are what this community needs. You belong because God made you belong. You belong because God made you belong. God placed you here. The body needs what you think it doesn't need. Next point. The visible parts are not the most important parts. Whoa. Okay. Think about that. The visible parts are not the most important parts. So Paul just finished addressing the foot's self-doubt. Do I really belong here? Now he's talking to the eye and its lack of concern for others. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. If you're the eye type, if you're upfront or gifted in ways that get noticed, there's a passage for you. And verse 22 is one of the most countercultural sentences in the New Testament. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. Not also important, but indispensable. Okay, I need you to use your imagination again. Yep, like your kidneys. Your kidneys, you can't see your kidneys, they're not glamorous, you know. You cannot point to them at a dinner party and say, hey, I've got really good kidneys. Check them out. No, you can't do that. But here's the thing. You'll die without them. You can't live without them. The unglamorous work of the body and of this church is not optional. They are essential. And then Paul says something on verse 24. It's a beautiful verse. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. He gives greater honor to the parts that lack it. The rest of the body is designed to compensate, to protect the dignity of the vulnerable parts. And the church is meant to do the same. Think about the people who clean the church behind the scenes, the people who maintain the church building but tells no one, the people who shows up during the week and stacks the chairs and puts them all, you know, in rows and columns so you can sit on them. These people work behind the scenes, but they're not the supporting cast. In God's economy, they are key characters. They are indispensable. The visible parts are not the most important parts. And then Paul brings it home. Paul brings it home. It says mutual suffering with point four, mutual suffering and mutual joy. The goal of all this, the unity and the diversity, is that we can become a people who actually look after each other. That's what's called a community. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. A community that looks after each other. People who look after each other. Not just people who say, I'll pray for you, and then they forget. You know, I'll pray for you later, and then they forget. Not just people to show up to the good stuff and disappear when things are going bad. People who are genuinely connected, where our pain and our joys are shared. And I've seen this. I've seen this in this church. I've seen people deliver meals to people they don't necessarily know well. I've seen people drive other people to the hospital for, you know, cancer treatment, but, you know, they weren't even related. I've seen people celebrate each other's good news like it was their own. You know, when somebody has a baby, you know, it's like, oh, they have a baby. No, they have a baby. No. It's like we all have a baby. Well, that's a community. When we share our sufferings, when we share our sadness, and when we share our joys. And then verse 27. It's like the punchline. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. It doesn't say you should be like the body. It says you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. This is who we are. Which means every person in this room is part of Christ's body. The preacher and the cleaner. The upfront and the behind the scenes people. The one who's been here 30 years and the one who's just walked in this morning for the very first time. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And because of that, we share our sufferings and our joys. And when we do that, we become a community where people belong. A Christ community, a church. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? You know, as a church, we want to be intentional about building a culture of community, a culture of belonging. And based on this passage, that means two things practically for us. Number one, we value others. We need to honor the ones who serve, especially the ones who serve behind the scenes. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. If you serve in a way no one normally sees, if you're, you know, in the creche, the kitchen, the sound desk, the chair stacking team, the ministry support team, the maintenance team, and other behind the scenes teams, we want to say thank you. If you're in those teams, we want to say thank you. That's not all the behind the scenes teams. I just want to say thank you to all the behind the scenes teams. The body needs you. The church needs you. Without you, this community is incomplete. You are important, and you belong. And I want to invite you, you know, everyone here, just to honor everyone who serves, especially the ones who serve behind the scenes. You know, it's during tea and coffee, just go up to them and say, you know, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. You know, hi, I'm Michael. What's your name? Thank you for what you do. Yeah? Very simple, very straightforward. Okay. So I invite you to value others. The next one is I invite you to serve like Christ. Okay. If you've been attending but not contributing, the body of Christ needs you. I want to invite you to move from being an attender to being a contributor and serve like Christ. Check this out. Check this passage. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. And I read that passage, and it astounds me that the creator of the universe would humble himself, come down from heaven to earth to love, serve, and save someone like me from eternal damnation by dying on the cross for my sins. And he did that to you, for you too. And because of his grace, because of his love, I am compelled to firstly love him back by putting my faith in him as my Lord and Savior. And now I am forgiven and I have the promise of eternal life. But secondly, I am compelled to love him back by serving others. We honor Christ by serving the body of Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In the New Living Translation, instead of handiwork, it uses the word masterpiece. It uses the word masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. And God has a purpose for each of his masterpieces. We are created to do good works. God wants us to serve others. And every person matters. Every part matters. Every person was placed here by God, and every masterpiece was made to serve others. Here at Busselton Baptist, one of the best ways to serve is to just give it a go. Give a ministry a go. Okay. Serve where there's a need. And if it works out, great. Good. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine. Just move to another ministry. Okay? That's okay. That's okay. It's like, you know, when you're trying to find out what your kids are good at. You know, first, you let them try martial arts. Okay? If that doesn't work, you let them try ballet. Maybe not for the boys, or maybe for the boys as well. Okay? If that doesn't work, you let them try, I don't know, different things, swimming, music, arts. Okay? Until you find something that's good for them. And it's the same for church. Okay? Serve where there's a need, and just give something a go. Give a ministry a go. Now, okay. I've just put some ministry teams and ministry leaders there. For ministries that, especially the ones that are sort of behind the scenes, okay? The gathering tech team, the ones that at the back there, hospitality team, the hub team, kids church teams, crèche teams, maintenance teams, the chairs team. The chairs team is only one person at the moment. He could use some help. But if there's any other ministries that are not there and you would like to give them a go, just come see me I can point you to the person to talk to. But yeah, check out those. If any of those interest you, feel free to take a photo and speak to the ministry leader. This is not exhaustive, by the way. So just ask me and I'll point you in the right direction. The next way, another way to find out which ministry you can serve in is to discover your shape. Discover your shape. What is your shape? Okay. And I know you're using your imagination right now, but yeah, just give me some time to explain this. Okay. When I say shape, I'm talking about your spiritual gifts, your heart, like your passions, your abilities, your personality. Like I said, you should only have one personality. Okay. Difficult if you have multiple personalities. And your experiences. Okay? And your experiences. Now you already have these things. God has given you all these things. All right. So that you can do the good works that He has prepared for you to do. Okay. So I'm not gonna help you or give you these gifts. I'm just going to help you to discover them, what they are, so you can serve in a ministry that aligns with your shape. Yeah, does that make sense? Can I get a yes? Okay, cool. God uses everything about you, your shape, to do the good works that He has prepared in advance for you to do. So, as your pastor, I can help you discover your shape. Okay, if you scan that QR code and submit the form, I will send you some information that will help get you started in your discovering your shape. So, yeah, take a photo or scan that now. I'll give you, just a couple of seconds to do that. So, we value others and we serve like Christ. And we serve like Christ by giving a ministry a go or by discovering our shape. Now, if there's one passage I would like for you to remember today, it's this. If there's one passage that I want you to be encouraged with today, it's this. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The question is, are you doing your part? If you're the hand, are you doing the part that the hand has to do? If you're a foot, are you doing the part that the foot has to do? Okay. I invite you to value others and to serve like Christ. Because you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let me just leave that there. So I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine a community where everyone collaborates rather than compares. Where everyone commends, lifts people up rather than complains and brings people down. Where everyone suffers together and celebrates together. Where every masterpiece does its part in doing the good works that God has prepared for them to do. Where everyone serves each other. Now, I've seen glimpses of that here. And I believe God is building that further here as well. A community where everyone belongs. That's called the body of Christ. That's the church. That's us together. For we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. I'm just going to ask the band to come up. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Help us to be a church where everyone belongs, Lord. Help us to be the church that you want us to be here in Busselton and globally as well. Help us to be a church where, when people come through the doors of the church, it's like how people see each other at the arrivals area of the airport. With so much love and welcoming and sense of belonging, Lord. Help us to be a church where, when someone falls, we pick them up together. Help us to be a church when somebody's going through a hard time, we can help them together. Help us to be a church when someone is celebrating, then we can celebrate together as well. Help us to be a church where everyone belongs. And we pray all these things in your most precious name. Amen.